This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Cyber criminals are working overtime during this World Cup season. From spams to phishing to hacking and even ATM machines, they are all out in full force as the world has its focus on the tournament. I'm here today with David M. He's the Senior Security Researcher at Global Research and Analysis Team at Kaspersky Lab. David, you know, even before the World Cup has started last week, we've already seen a number of fishers attempting to cash in on the World Cup fever. Could you share with us some of these examples that happened?
Yes, absolutely. We've seen, as you rightly say, fishers getting out there to try and make money off the back of the World Cup. They've been doing stuff like poisoning web searches. So basically, they've been manipulating the search results so that their web pages, their fake web pages, get brought back in the search results high up to make it likely that people will click on them rather than on legitimate links. They've also been buying up domain names which have kind of similar sounding titles to the legitimate places to go and get tickets and memorabilia and other things. And even we've seen sort of personalized phishing campaigns, you know, where they're using personal information to color their emails to make it more likely or more credible so that people are more likely to click on them thinking it's a legitimate email. And this really has been going back to the beginning of the year, actually.
How is this any different from regular phishing, minus the World Cup? You know, because why are people still falling for this just because it's the World Cup season?
We see the same pattern, actually, with any big sporting event or any big sort of notable activity going on in the world. I mean, we saw the same thing in the UK with the Olympic Games. We see the same thing, you know, with other big sporting events or, you know, anything really that catches the public imagination and has lots of people interested in it, then that's a great place to start for these guys. The best analogy is maybe to think of pickpockets in the real world. They go where the crowds go. And, you know, the online crowds at the moment are very, very focused on the World Cup, and that's why there are a big potential pool of victims that can be scammed.
And we let the guards down whenever we're focused on one particular thing.
Oh, we do indeed. You know, I mean, obviously people interested in the World Cup, you know, that's what they're focused on, and they're desperate to get information or buy tickets or look for memorabilia. They're looking for all kinds of things, and that tends to put security further to the back of people's minds.
And especially when you get an email saying that you just want 2 free tickets to watch the World Cup in Brazil.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that people's enthusiasm and interest in a subject tends to outweigh their normal common sense because, you know, if it was an event that they weren't interested in, they would probably say, this offer looks too good to be true. It probably is too good to be true. But of course, you know, that gets overridden by their enthusiasm for the particular event that's caught their imagination.
Are mobile users at risk too?
Well, I mean, we see less malware targeted at mobile devices, tablets and smartphones. But actually, it is increasing massively. I mean, at the end of 2013, there were in existence about 200,000 unique malware samples. In Q1 alone this year, we saw another 100,000 added to that total. So we're seeing exponential growth in terms of malware. And sure, I mean, there is spam for mobile devices. There are phishing attempts for mobile devices as well, even sort of financially based malware, you know, so phishing attempts trying to get people's bank information out of them. So it's a growing problem on mobile devices. It's a well-established problem for laptops and desktops.
Could you share with us some tips to protect ourselves against online frauds?
Well, absolutely. You know, I think the first thing I would say is it's always a good idea to protect your computer. And that means, on the one hand, installing a comprehensive internet security product. It also means making sure that your computer is patched. So not just Windows, but any of your applications like Java or Adobe Acrobat Reader, any application you use, make sure it's patched, because cyber criminals do use loopholes, vulnerabilities in unpatched software as a way of trying to install malware. So it's always good to make sure it's patched. And you'll find actually with a lot of internet security products, if you're looking at a sort of comprehensive package rather than a traditional just basic antivirus, they will include additional technologies to help you. So, for example, our own software has something called Safe Money, which provides a sort of quarantined browser so that when you're doing any online transaction, it's checking to make sure it's not a phishing site. It's making sure that no program on your computer can inject code into that browser. So, it's possible to get applications like that that will make you safer when you're doing any transaction online.
I'm speaking to David M. He's the Senior Security Researcher at Global Research and Analysis Team at Kaspersky Lab. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about how ATMs and credit cards can be at risk during this World Cup season. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. Jeff Sandu here, and today I'm speaking to David M. He's the Senior Security Researcher at Global Research and Analysis Team at Kaspersky Lab. And early on, we spoke about some of the phishing examples during this World Cup season. David, there have also been reports of some cyber criminals finding creative ways to do their work. ATMs are one of them. Are ATMs really at risk? How so?
Well, they are. One of the things about ATMs is you are typically going to be dealing with a device which is standalone. Mm-hmm. So whereas, with traditional networked environment, it's a lot easier to spread malware. It's more difficult with an isolated device. But we have in the last year been seeing an increased activity targeted at ATMs, and typically what this means is that the criminals will go to devices and they will basically get access physically to the device. So they'll take the front of it and they will either use a CD or a USB flash key and insert it into the computer behind all of that facade that we see when we go to an ATM, and they will use that to control it and either install malware, which is gathering information, or they will use it to dispense money. And so they'll send people along to go and tap in a particular predefined code, and that will just start dispensing money to them. So, that is certainly possible. And Latin America is one of the areas where we have seen a growth in ATM scams. And even without using malware, of course, the idea of fixing devices to ATMs which will record information on your card, or even take a picture of you when you're tapping in your PIN number to gather that, that's pretty well established now, I think, in many places in the globe. So there are a couple of ways, really, in which you could fall victim to cyber criminals when using an ATM.
Well, I was going to ask you, so how then do tourists at Brazil for the World Cup protect their ATMs and even credit cards?
Well, it's really difficult. Credit cards as well is one of those things. In some parts of the globe, chip and PIN is well established, where you don't hand over your credit card. They bring a machine to you. You put it in. You type your PIN in secretly. And obviously that reduces the possibility that somebody can do something with your card out of your sight. That's one thing with a credit card, is never let it out of your sight. If you're doing a transaction, you make sure it stays in front of you, and the machine that's being used to input that is in your control, not somebody else's. With regards to ATMs, it's pretty important to make sure that you're using an ATM that is less likely to be manipulated in some ways. Now, one way of doing that is, certainly I do this myself anyway, even leaving aside being in Latin America, is use an ATM which is inside the bank, because it's a lot harder for somebody to mess about with a machine in the bank where it's visible to the staff than it would be, let's say, on a high street somewhere out in the shopping center.
Last month, a team of Kaspersky security experts drove around Sao Paulo. What did they find?
Well, we really were just looking to sort of get a feel really for what the level of security was on devices. And what one of the things we were looking for was to see how often people had sort of left sort of out of the box settings on a Wi-Fi access point. In other words, you know, they hadn't changed the password and they hadn't switched off SSID broadcast, which tells anyone around that the network is there. And, you know, I mean, we were actually finding quite a lot of cases, you know, there were default settings on access points, which obviously is kind of worrying because if you didn't change the password on a device, it's easy to find out from the manufacturer of that device what the default password is. I mean, that's all pretty standard stuff. We're also looking at, you know, what types of network there were out there. So basically there are ad hoc networks or infrastructure networks, and basically, you know, the ad hoc allows somebody to kind of effectively gather any traffic coming through them. So the data sent is sent or received through a host or a computer, which could be managed by anyone. And that, you know, really means that you could have somebody, let's say as an example, you're in a shopping center or a cafe, you think you're connecting to the cafe's network, but there's a similar name to an ad hoc network access point, which is being managed by a cyber criminal, and you connect to that by mistake, and effectively everything you send and receive is going through them. And we found a significant proportion of networks of that kind. I think one of the big problems, of course, with this is that when people are visitors to another country, they're very reluctant to use data roaming because of the charges that are often involved with that. So they're very keen to find a Wi-Fi access point because obviously they're going to minimize any costs associated with using their mobile. But unless it's a secured Wi-Fi hotspot, you know, they're potentially in danger of having data stolen.
There was also a report on the AC/DC PowerPoints, you know, working to steal information. How does that work? How does this malicious PowerPoints, power plugs work?
Right, okay. Well, you're right. I mean, people are looking to recharge their device at every opportunity, you know, whether it's a bus stop or it's a restaurant or anywhere, really. The problem is that, you know, as well as charging your battery, if somebody set up a malicious charger, it can also silently steal information from the smartphone. So effectively, what we're talking about here is you don't know what you're plugging into. And, you know, whereas if you're at home and you plug it into the wall, you know that it's just a power socket. That may not be the case if you're using one of these rogue charger stations.
Any last tips for netizens during this World Cup season?
Well, I think, you know, we're all more accustomed to physical security these days. So we keep our valuables safe. You know, it might mean we lock them in the safe of the hotel when we go out and about. We keep our wallet on our inside pocket. We don't, you know, wander off into areas that look like they might be unsafe. We need to adopt a sort of online common sense as well, which means that, you know, be very careful about the Wi-Fi connections that you make. Be on the lookout for the fact that, you know, something might be a dangerous charger point for charging your battery. And, you know, also in terms of phishing stuff, if an offer looks too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. And, you know, the best thing if you're looking to get to a particular site, maybe for tickets or something else, you know, is to actually type in a URL yourself. So never respond to emails with links in them because it's possible to camouflage the link and actually send you to a different fake site.
And also bookmark your favorite links, I guess that will be the easiest.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you're bookmarking them, then obviously you've controlled what goes into that that URL in the bookmark, so for sure.
Well, it's Kaspersky Lab and your team on high alert now for the next 1 month just to look out for netizens.
Well, you know, we're always on the lookout. I mean, we've, as you rightly say, we've made a couple of blog posts recently on giving people advice on what they should do. And if people go to securelist.com, they can find some of that advice that I've just been talking about. And maybe, you know, reading it gives them a bit more time to digest it on top of listening to it on the show. Mm. But, you know, we're on the lookout for World Cup and all other kinds of scams that are out there, for sure.
I've been speaking to David M. He's the Senior Security Researcher at Global Research and Analysis Team at Kaspersky Lab, talking about what you can do to protect yourself during this World Cup season. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.